want to read from Psalm 110. Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. The Lord will extend your powerful kingdom from Jerusalem. You will rule over your enemies, and when you go to war, your people will serve you willingly. You are arrayed in holy garments, and your strength will be renewed each day like the morning dew. Amen. Father, thank you. We are younger tonight because of renewed strength. You renew our youth like the eagles. All honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Can you feel the wave that's rising here at Calvary Christian Center? If you've got your spiritual radar tuned in, you can feel a wave of God's presence rising in our services. It's amazing, but it's predicted. God promised to do it. And the wave is building, and we don't know the moment, but we do know it's going to be soon. It'll come crashing on the shore, and it will do that wave will create a season of God's unprecedented outpouring of His Holy Spirit, an over-the-top blessing. So you're in the right place at the right time, next to the right person. Amen? Look at that person. Be thankful for them. We are destined to win under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. God's up to something major in spite of what you see in the culture. In fact, just before we see the outbreaking and outpouring of the Holy Spirit will be the darkest moment sometimes in history. Under the Lordship of Jesus, you can't lose. And this is not religion, this is relationship. And religion has taken over in a lot of churches in our culture. It's back to relationship, back to one-on-one experience with the Lord. God's not upset with anybody when you succeed and when you win and when you've passed the test. He's glorified in your victories. So whatever battle you face tonight, by the time I'm done, I believe you will have flipped over and land on top. Instead of being on the bottom, God wants you to be on top. Now, many attempt to fight battles alone. That's not the way God designed us. And fight battles in families. But when we come together collectively, we get much accomplished when we put our shoulders together and we go for it as one. Amen? Some have Facebook friends. Bless you. They're not really your friends. What do you really know about them other than the stuff they throw up on the screen? And half of that they can't believe. Amen? So when we come to service, we can accomplish amazing victories together when we learn to build relationships, not Facebook friends, relationship friends. Amen? And those victories that we celebrate together, they're not seen when we're all by ourselves. They are only embraced and experienced when we gather together and we as the body of Christ say to the Lord, we want to be your body in reality and do the works you've assigned us. I'm about to see amazing breakthroughs in my life. And I think we should declare that I'm about to see amazing breakthroughs in my life. Amen? Yeah. Amen. You were down, broke, busted, and disgusted, but when you open your mouth saying what God says, God's word, and this is not the time to go quiet. This is the time when in a crisis, it's time to sound the praises of heaven and declare victories. Even when we feel overwhelmed, you might feel displaced tonight, but before it's over, you're going to get back in place. When we're back in place, we get the results that God has for us. And you're going to get flowing back into the stream of the Holy Spirit. And in this desert that we've been walking through in our culture, God has opened up a stream of His presence. And your posture toward God will determine the outcome. So the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Wow. Now, sometimes we're tempted to put faces to the term enemies. Don't think physical people. Because you've got an enemy that most of you had not seen. You see the results of his work, the works of the enemy, but most of you have never seen what that enemy looks like. There have been people angry at times over something I wasn't even aware of. They get themselves all in a knot. Don't humanize enemies and create drama. Although principalities sometimes use personalities to get their work done, right? But first, placing your foot on the neck of your enemy was a commonplace practice in biblical times. When you conquered a king, you put your foot on his neck and you're announcing, "We have victory." If you don't take that authority, that enemy will get back up and fight you again. You let the enemy know you have declared victory over him. We have to place our foot on the neck of the adversary and assert an announcement of victory. The battle is over. Jesus has won. He has made me also a conqueror and a victor. I'm not worried about, therefore, how I'm going to turn out or how my children are going to turn out. The worst thing, you knock down the enemy and he gets back up to fight, not with you, but with your children, because you let him off the mat. And when you've got to have an instinct that says, I want to finish this. You don't back off. You continue to press until you finish it. We're fighting for our grandchildren, those I have yet to meet. I'm putting my foot on the neck of stuff that my great-great-grandchildren will never have to deal with. I'm passionate about my own generation. I'm passionate about the one coming right after me. I'm defeating spirits my lineage will never have to deal with. My successors will not have to fight what I had to fight. Why? I will kill it so it never gets up and messes with my family again. Don't think you can stop me in my generation. I'm fighting for future generations, for those that come after us in posterity. So watch this. It was when they brought out those kings to Joshua. Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, "Come near and put your feet on the necks of these five kings." And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. They'd been hiding. But Joshua, by the Spirit of God, discovered where they were and had them dragged out. And he said, "You guys are now defeated. Your kingdoms are over. Decree and declare. Not wait until your kids are all raised. Make the dedication on behalf of your children. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Don't wait until there's trouble. Don't wait until they've gone off the rails. Take authority in your home immediately. And no matter if your child is in community college like Yuba University, I mean, that was good. I liked that this morning. That was cool, right? Or Stanford University, we're going to serve the Lord. So Joshua 10, listen to this. Then Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you will fight." God's going before us. And the defeat administered to the first enemies will be the same defeat administered to any further enemies. God will help you to win no matter what adversaries come at you. And whatever enemy raises his ugly head in the future, under your feet. If you want to know what's going to happen to my fifth enemy, the same thing that happened to my first enemy. He will be defeated. So no matter what you're fighting, the outcome will be the same under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen? So begin celebrating even before you get into the fight. The same victory Jesus granted in the last round will be the same victory that he gave us in the very first battle that we got engaged in. Victory belongs to Jesus. The victory we celebrated over cancer when that attacked Donna's body We're going to continue to defeat that devil wherever it strikes, however it manifests anywhere else in this body of believers. Anyone else, we're coming against it. As we defeated it once, we will continue to defeat it in the future. Amen? The same result. This is not the first time you're dealing with what you've been dealing with. You faced it before. You won the first time. And if you won the first time, you're going to win again. This is not the first time you've had to battle depression. You overcame depression before. You can defeat depression again. But this time, you're going to put your foot on the neck of depression. You knocked it down before, but didn't put your foot on the neck. If you don't, the enemy will get back up and come at you again. We must proclaim victory generationally that goes out from us. Thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. That's the promise of his word. So who's in a fight tonight? Well, everybody ought to be in one. Because we're warriors. And the enemy's looking to engage us every chance he gets. Am I speaking to the right people? Oh, I'm just checking. I said, who's engaged in a battle tonight? Anybody here? Oh, okay, that's good. And since you're in a fight, I know who can help you to win. I know who helped me to win over time again. He's no respecter of persons. He's not going to favor one over the other. He fights for all skin colors. He fights for males, for females. And under his lordship, no matter your background, get ready to win. I said, get ready to win. Don't walk around, well, I don't know what's going to happen. No, I know what's going to happen. If you trust the Lord, you're going to win. And he will fight for any and all who trust him, no matter where you came from, no matter what your upbringing was like. This is the day we win. Tell your neighbor, victory is yours tonight. Do you believe that? We're living on the brink of the greatest outpouring America has seen in generations. You know, we filled our churches right after 9/11 for about a month, and then everybody went back to business as usual. But I'm living on the precipice of a day when doctors are going to continue to be amazed. I know both of our doctors have been amazed. One sent his administrative assistant here to find out, what kind of a church is that up there that goes on 21-day fasts and tumors shrink? What kind of, go find that out. And my own doctor showed up for Memorial Day and said, I got to see what you guys do up here at your church. Churches are going to get revolutionized. And why? Because the Bible has been rejected in our culture. Now watch, watch how this works. Outpourings of the Holy Spirit and clusters of miracles take place seasonally, the scripture shows us. Remember Jesus teaching in Matthew, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. And then he says this to those listening, hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. The Bible, which guides us and gives us history and shows us the ways of the Lord and the patterns of God, has been dismissed as just a mere collection of myths in this culture. It's never been this bad in my lifetime. I've never seen it like this in all the years I've lived. A wholesale rejection of God's word in our culture. Psalm 119, it's time for you to act, O God, for they have nullified your word. We are now a nation without the Bible in many places. It's been evicted from halls of government, schools, and even in some of our churches. Really? Yeah, absolutely. Our friend John was telling us in a conversation not long ago, he said, Pastor, he said, I'm disgusted. I go to church on Sunday, and the pastor hasn't read one verse of scripture during the entire message. He doesn't refer to any biblical patterns. How in the world have we gotten to the place where you can have a church service and not even read a passage of Scripture. It's been evicted, which is this. That means we're on the hair trigger of a moment when God's going to act, and He will, because His word will be defended. Amen? America is now the foreign mission field, and the Holy Spirit is going to work to confirm the word of God with signs following. And we're going to watch miracles and healings and the supernatural. It will become, as it is a regular part of our outreaches in Africa and Asia and Latin America, it will again become the norm in North America. God's wanting to do something great. It's time, because judgment must begin at the house of God. Well, that's not a fun thing to advertise, is it? Or to say. But it's the biblical truth. It must begin at the house of God. It's from 1 Peter. When the miracles come, it will not be by the endorsement of the typical current church mentality across our culture. God is displeased. I said, God is displeased. I'm telling you prophetically, spiritually, as a spiritual leader in the body of Christ, He is displeased with so much of the churchianity in America today. He wants true worship. He's seeking worshipers who come to Him to worship Him in spirit and in truth. The signs and wonders that are coming are going to bring some judgment along with them. They're going to expose sin. And remember, Ananias and Sapphira didn't do too well in the presence of the Holy Spirit and the manifested miracles that were happening in the early church when they decided they were going to cheat and lie in front of the Lord, and they got carried out of the building on stretchers that day. The message of greasy grace that has believers committing sexual sins, getting drunk, behaving in ways that makes us no different than the culture in which we live, those days are just about over. They will be burned out by the true fire of God. God's about to change the dynamics of the church in America. And judgment indeed will begin at the house of God, but it will not end right there. Watch it when it starts affecting public officials and celebrities and these voices that are so vocally anti-God. I wouldn't want to be in their place. And it's time, the seasons. The seasons in Scripture show us there are times of refreshing, is the way the Word of God refers to them, times and seasons of refreshing that come from heaven. And I believe we're on the verge of another outbreak of a season of refreshing. We've seen them in history. Then we go through these times when it seems like we're having church and we're experiencing good things and occasionally great miracles and wonderful, wonderful blessing of God. But then this huge season erupts to wash out the stuff that's accumulated. Amen? And the new season is fresh oil and fresh wine and fresh living water that comes from the Lord. Now, there's no doubt, America, we have crossed the line in the sand with God. We really have. The leftist movement is guilty of the most blatant animosity toward God that I've ever seen in my lifetime. I can't believe how bold they are, shaking their fist in the face of God. That's a dangerous thing to do. The progressives are literally doing that toward the Lord, and it's God's going to intervene, folks. In fact, they're daring Him to intervene, and you don't do that with Him for very long, amen? And if God doesn't act now, there isn't going to be an America like we grew up in. It's going to be dynamically changed. There is a radical body of believers left in this country that are ready to embrace all that God has for us. We have not bowed our knee to Baal. Neither will we in our lifetime. There's a growing army. They have discarded dead religion. I want nothing to do with that stuff. We have repented of prayerlessness in life, and we are going to obey the voice of the Lord and do what God asks of us. We are the rightful heirs of this anointing that's going to break this present darkness. We're going to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, amen, and speak the whole counsel of God. And I believe God's miracles and signs and wonders are going to be upon the church before we blink, amen. Never forget the sobering reality. God's giving this culture one more chance. I believe that. And I'm excited about that, but we dare not blow this one. Amen? Sometimes you just need to tell people around you, God's fighting for us. And if God's fighting for us, who can be against us? Who can win against us when God's fighting for us? I'm here to declare you're about to have the greatest victory in your life. These are those days. Now, secondly, Jesus' ruling power is going to go ahead of you despite your enemy. Nothing, who can stand against him? No one. Now, how can ruling powers win when the enemy has struck a blow? How can we win after the enemy's done so much damage in our culture? We took a hit. We've been taking a hit. And just because we've been hit doesn't mean we've lost. We get up and we fight. If I stayed in bed all day today, I'd have very few problems, right? But I got up today without an alarm. I get up just about every day without an alarm. Unless Muffin comes in to bark at me. But anything that gets up without natural assistance is dangerous. And I'm thankful I'm a danger to the kingdom of darkness. If you got up without having to have an alarm to get you up to get to the house of God, the Holy Spirit wakes you up. You're dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. And listen, hallelujah, come on, praise the Lord. And the alarm that goes off is the one the devil hears when I get out of bed in the morning. He's up and he's at it again. He's praying. He's meditating. He's listening to God's word. He's got a message from the Lord. He's going to tell people how powerful they are in the Lord. And we're in big trouble because of it. And they need to shake in their boots. Amen. When you walk out of here tonight with the devil having packed his bags and left your household because you've received a word from the Lord, the centurion told Jesus, "Speak the word and my servant will be healed." By the time they got back home, the servant was fully recovered. You might have left something sick back at home, maybe a loved one physically ill, but by the time you get back to your house, believing God, there's going to be victory. You might have left a sick husband or a child at home, not just physically, but spiritually ill, spiritually suffering. You might have sick finances. By the time you get home, the sickness will begin to turn. Instead of getting upset when it's time for tithes, oh my goodness, I don't know about that. You're like I am. You get excited because I'm putting God first. He takes care of me. Listen, we give our way into the next dimension and obtain the promises of God. So what? We can bless people. We can help people find Jesus. We can feed the hungry. Ruling power lives in us, in the man Christ Jesus, by his Spirit. Now, the enemy, he may be close and wanting some close quarter fighting. And some of us have had some setbacks, but now comebacks. And now we're about to experience a get up. Amen? And the enemy saw us in a setback. But before we defeat him, he needs to see something else. The victory that Jesus has willed for his church. Because in the separating of the wheat from the tares, I'm telling you, there's going to be a move of God in this country like we've never seen. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Amen? Amen. Devil, you can't stop us. We might get knocked down, we get back up, and we fight more fiercely than ever. The authority of Jesus is not here to stop us. The authority of Jesus is present to push us into our destiny. So don't get upset with authority. They're just getting you ready for where you're going. Don't get all flustered. Well, the pastor's preaching kind of straight and he's getting in my business and he's stepping on my toes. Don't get upset with that. We're just pushing you into where God wants you to go. Your enemies will sweet talk you. They'll try to candy talk you. Just be normal. Just relax. And don't get all wound up about church. And don't let the pastor get you all up. Don't do that. Just stay calm. Don't be a fanatic. Ignore those pleas and sit down and eat a big meal with the enemy present and watch him watch you while you feed yourself on the Word of God and learn how to eat and get filled with the presence of the Lord and attack your adversary. It doesn't matter. God has blessed you and the enemy cannot stop you. You are favored by God. You are not destined to remain at the bottom, but to rise to the top. And you will be blessed under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, you might be thinking of how inadequate you are. We all have those thoughts. I don't have enough education. I don't have the right connections. God will shift everything in the place that needs to be in the place. All we need to do is be in the place where he can use us. You don't need someone to speak for you. Jesus has spoken for you. When we're under Jesus' lordship, we are never trivialized. We always are recognized by him. Say, God is fighting for me. The presence of the Holy Spirit is lingering. Notice that? In service after service, it doesn't evaporate as soon as there's an amen. The Holy Spirit is lingering because he wants us to keep pressing. He wants us to have breakthrough. And third, God's people will have a willing heart and offer themselves under Jesus' lordship. We need to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's great that he's our Savior. Thank you, God, for sending him to be our Savior. But as disciples, we have to learn to submit to the lordship of Jesus. Have you ever been in a spot where you couldn't locate help anywhere? Anybody ever been in a place like that? Now we've got GPS, so it doesn't happen as often. But before GPS was in our cars or in our phones, and I got lost coming out of Bakersfield trying to find my way back down. No, actually, we were in Solvang, and we were trying to find our way back. You remember that place? And I was trying to find my way in the dark at night. Back to the highway, the freeway, and get myself back down toward L.A. And we're on some back roads coming out of there trying to intersect, and I didn't know where I was. I'd never been there before, and trying to look at the map in the dark, and what is that sign? Is there a road sign anywhere? So finally, I just parked my car out in the middle of the street. Nobody was there. It's dark. And I get out, and I yelled, "Can somebody please tell me where I am?" Remember that? So all of them are in the car laughing their heads off because I had no idea where I was. We have a lot of fun in our family. I mean, lots of fun. Yeah. We all know what that kind of feels like at some point in life. But don't allow that image to remain in your mind, right? That somehow we don't know where we're going or where we've been. If you allow that image to remain, your faith is going to get nullified. Gets neutralized, that we're lost, that we don't know where we're located. There are some people so skilled and equipped, it'll blow your mind when they show up to help you. God's going to bring them alongside to make great things happen. It's been happening. You've seen that even at the TC Center. The body of Christ is about to rediscover the gift of serving. When the Holy Spirit does what he's going to do in these latter days, all of a sudden, you're going to see one of the manifestations. See, the gifts of the Spirit are not just located or relegated to some of the power gifts and some of the expressive gifts that make everybody kind of feel good and get excited, but they're also gifts of governance and gifts of serving and gifts of hospitality. We're gonna see in the outpouring of the Spirit, like the early church had, they served every day one another and blessed each other, and they were hospitable and they were welcoming. Amen. In his kingdom, serving is the greatest, Jesus said. So when we recognize that favor is on our lives, we can expect miracle support and complete participation in the body of Christ, because all the members begin to function. It means people show up and are simply grateful to serve. They've heard where we're going, and we want to help you get there. We don't have to beg people and ask people, what do we need? Let's get it done. There are some who are willing and gifted to sow, and they're about to release their gift because they've learned that their next level is tied to their generosity related to the kingdom. Some are ready to serve. They're going to volunteer to help you. So get all the negative thoughts out of your mind. Wash them out of your head. Somebody done me wrong, son. Stop singing that stuff. I've been mistreated. They didn't. Listen to me. This season is designed to bless your life with gladness and joy and thanksgiving in the Holy Spirit. Stop whining and feeling sorry for yourself all the time. We're givers. We don't worry. If something happens that doesn't fit just the picture we think, we just kind of, over the shoulder, we give, we help, we serve. It's our spiritual DNA. If I belong to my Heavenly Father, that's the DNA he downloads into me. I've got new DNA. And that DNA makes me a bona fide child of my Heavenly Father. That DNA does what Jesus said. I didn't come to be served, but to serve, to give myself. And he says, that's what I want you to do too. When you have my DNA, you'll do that automatically. Notice we don't take an hour and a half to take offerings here. Isn't that great? Thank you, Jesus. Some churches have to do that because they're so far in debt that, you know, they have to get up periodically and say, oh, you know, we don't get another blah, 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 thousands of dollars in this month. We can't pay our mortgage, and if we can't pay our mortgage, they're coming for us. And so we got to wait here until the money comes in. Boy, that'd be a boring place to be. It'd be worse than boring. Say, I don't want to be in the middle of that stuff. Our focus is how to mature the body of Christ. As we mature, it's second nature to be generous and to give. When we're growing up in the Lord, his nature now has manifested through my life. And if his nature is in me, it's generous. If his nature is in me, it gives. If his nature is in me, it's automatic. I don't have to sit there and go, I don't know if I should do that. I don't think I can afford that. I better not do that. I don't like that person. I don't think I should do it. No. God says, do it, and you just do it because it's the right thing to do before him. As we assist you in growing, we are growing. And one of the results for all of us is we learn to be sowers. And there's something under the lordship of Jesus Christ. God has their attention when we're under his lordship. And tonight, we get ourselves off of our minds. When we get ourselves off of our minds, God will put you on someone else's heart. Too many people spend too much time thinking about themselves. If we can forget about ourselves and forget about our discomfort and forget about what I'm going through, then God will put your need on someone else's heart to pray for you and to come alongside of you. A person who may not even know you very well, because God will move in their heart. It's the MO of the New Testament church. That's normal with a Spirit-led church. So for 5 minutes, get your mind off yourself and show God your trust. He will put someone else's need on your heart while you stop thinking about yourself. And then within 4 minutes, the devil who's been attacking you will get neutralized, because all of a sudden he doesn't have your focus and your attention because you're forgetting about yourself. And it feels free, doesn't it, when that happens? So do that right now. Take a moment. Just do it. Get yourself off your mind. Stop thinking about stop. And get yourself off your mind. And ask the Holy Spirit to lead your thinking about the needs of others in the body of Christ. And it feels free. Situations begin to turn. Because self is no longer central. He's central. And his work is central. So take a moment and do that. I want you to discipline yourself for just a few moments here. And take yourself off your mind. And ask the Lord to be central. And what his work is for you to do. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. I love to get alone like that with him. Some have been standing flat-footed too long. There's an elevation. There's a new season. When I get on this platform, I take a step. Say, I'm taking a step up. I'm not stepping on carpet. I'm stepping on the neck of my adversary. Joshua calls his leaders, his captains, to see these five defeated kings. Five major areas we have to deal with. And Joshua said, we've apprehended them. There are five attacks against us we have to take on head-on to conquer. And we're apprehending. You've been attacked. To you, it's major. We're apprehending the adversary and standing on his neck. See yourself doing that. Instead of seeing yourself, this thing is not right, that's not, stop. 2 minutes. Whatever enemy you're facing, you're going to need help. Overcoming him. We all need each other. Joshua called out his leaders. Come on, team, come around me. He said, let me show you what to do. You may have captured your enemy. You may have him where you want him. And he followed you over here to Calvary Christian Center. That was a big mistake. He should have never pulled in here. And let me show you what warrior followers of Jesus do to their enemies. Joshua was a warrior. He dealt with adversaries. And since your adversary had the nerve to follow you here tonight, what we will do is what Joshua taught. Put your foot on his neck. Because anything you defeat, put your foot on its neck. And whatever you're facing tonight, I'm here to say, put your foot on the enemy right now. Thing that had you up half the night, it can no longer keep you up any longer. You must be able to decompress, resting in the victory of the Lord. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. So when you get into the week and things begin to go crazy, and they always seem to do that, don't they? Remind the devil, you have put your foot on his neck. That we have defeated the adversary tonight. And he's under our feet because we are the body of Christ. He is the head of the church. We are his body. And when I go down to the lower extremities, he's under our feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen? So here's what I want you to do. Instead of thinking about yourself, I'm going to ask our pastors that are in the room, all of our pastors on our team, I want you to come up here, stand up here, our team to get ready for worship as well. I want all of the pastors down front, stand right across the front, and I want you to face the audience tonight. Amen? All the pastors that are here, I want you to come up here. I want you to stand across the front. Right? Stand right across the front here tonight. How many people in this room tonight, the enemy's attacked you? He's been working on you. How many want to step on his neck tonight? Anybody want to do that? Are you ready to do that? Others have had the victory. That's the point. If I can put my foot on the neck of my adversary, you can put your foot on his neck as well. So I want everybody to stand right now. This might seem crazy, but you're going to put your foot on his neck tonight. And when you come back with your testimony, here's what you're going to be able to say. Look what the Lord has done. Amen? Because when you put your foot on the devil, you're going to have some new friends, victorious friends. And those that have remained flat-footed too long, enough is enough. Take your victory under the lordship of Jesus the Christ. Go ahead and put your foot on the neck of your adversary. Amen. Don't allow him to get back up. Now here's what I want you to do. All of you that have an adversary you're fighting, I don't care if you call it illness, I don't care if you call it an attack on your family, on your business, on your spirit, on your emotions, in your thinking, on your finances, wherever the enemy is attacking you. If you're under any kind of attack, I want you to get down here right now. Come on. Come on. Don't let the sickness return. Don't let the craving act up. Don't let the addiction get hold of you. Come on. If we just had about 50 people in this room who would put their foot on the neck of the enemy, the devil would pack up his bag and leave Yuba City forever. Amen? Amen.